That's just what's going to be proposed.
Yeah, I'm doing the public notice for DMO now. I'll give you.
It's okay, he called me DMO.
Okay.
Tony called me DMO.
He'll answer to anything.
Mr. Supervisor, where's Pat B?
I don't know. That would be literally the first public meeting that I've ever experienced. Should we give him a minute or no? All right, let's start the meeting with a pledge of the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. The first item on the agenda tonight is a public hearing regarding the adoption of the incentive zoning project for the Whispering Oaks subdivision, section 4, for the year 2016. Can I get a motion to open that hearing?
I'll move that.
Second. In comments, what'd you say?
You mean this mic out here?
Yeah, actually. Typically, to get in the habit of reading the proof of publication, do we have that handy as far as what was put out public?
There's handouts at the table.
This?
Well, that's old.
You mean proof of publication from the newspaper?
Yeah, as far as what was written, in the newspaper.
Dina will get that from the.
Okay.
The notice.
All right, so from now on for public hearings, what we're going to start doing is reading proof of the publication. We're actually going to read to the audience, to the mic, and to Pack B what was publicized for our public meetings. I don't know, we're kind of hoping they might, this would literally be the first board meeting I've ever in 13, 14 years that they've ever missed. I hope everything's all right. They'll have the recording, so hopefully we'll post that on our site. Okay, there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Is there anybody in the audience? Well, why don't we get a presentation from the developer?
Could I say something before we start this?
There will be a public comment.
This pertains to one work a day on notification of this meeting. One working day.
Okay.
How is anybody supposed to, couldn't contact the town? You couldn't contact the lawyer, you couldn't contact anybody.
Well, I was fielding phone calls. You know, technically, I mean, we really don't even need to put out a mailer. We did that to make sure that everybody would be aware of the project. Not only did we do that, but we made sure that we went beyond a 500-foot requirement on that mailer. So you received something in the mail, and it was in the newspaper, I believe. Did we publish it in the Messenger?
Not in the Messenger, Post Standard.
Post Standard.
Why didn't we put it in the Messenger?
I was advised by our attorney to put it in the Post Standard.
It doesn't get in the Messenger in time.
Oh, because of that, it's a
weekly.
I got it.
When was it published in the Post Standard?
Dina, when was that?
I can tell you in 1 second. I have a confirmation. information in my office, the actual paper. I can go get it if you want me to.
Okay, can we get you that information?
I'll go get it if you...
Not now. But we'll get you that information. Okay. There is going to be a public comment period. So why don't we get into the presentation and go from there.
Okay. Right. Good evening. My name is Julian Clark. I'm with Plumley Engineering here on behalf of Dr. Clark, no relation, who is the owner and developer of the property. We're talking about 26 acres of land between Whispering Oak Subdivision and Emmerich Drive, north of Route 370. Dr. Clark's proposing a residential subdivision on lots that will be roughly 20,000 square feet, very similar to the lot sizes over in the Spring Oaks. As part of the development, he is proposing to utilize the town's incentive zoning to increase its density through an incentive and benefit program. The incentive to Dr. Clark will be he obtains additional density. He goes from roughly 20 lots to 35 lots for the subdivision. And in return, he's offering benefits to the town, complying with the town's incentive zoning. Benefits will include extending the public sewer all the way to Emmerich Drive, an additional 200 feet of public sewer. You also, through the development...
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yep.
How does that benefit our residents?
That will provide public sewer closer to Emmerich and Irene Drive for future connection.
If they choose. Amen. Okay.
Like I said, roughly 200 feet of additional sewer that he's installing that he wouldn't have had to install if he just developed without the incentive. The increased density will also reduce the debt service in the Whispering Oaks and West Tennessee street sewer districts. And through the additional lots, he and the future lot owners will be paying additional fees towards the debt service of approximately, it be additional $7,850 additional debt service payments through the increased density each year that he'll be paying through the additional 13 lots. And then he'll also be making a lump sum payment to the town as each phase is developed of $1,600 per lot. And that money will be allocated for future sewer projects in the town. So he's getting roughly 13 additional lots, and the town is getting that list of benefits in return for the increased density.
And how does that benefit the homeowners that are there already?
There'll be a comment time after the presentation.
I understand that, but what I'm hearing right now is you're getting paid good money to approve this zoning. We have a house there, and now I'm looking at the new map, and I'm going to have two houses behind me, two houses on the side of me. So how is that going to affect my well water with all this sewage coming up through? And all this digging and all this building?
Ma'am, there's a comment period we'll have afterwards. You'll be able to ask these questions then. Let's get through the presentation, and we'll get back to your question.
Well, all I hear him saying is talking about money to the town. That's all I hear.
Go ahead. Okay.
And as also, as part of another incentive that we're offering is we're going to have a 100-foot buffer along Emmerich Drive with trees and landscaping to provide a visual screen for people coming down Emmerich looking into the subdivision. So we're giving some green space back to the door. The land will be owned by the lot owners, but it'll be in a deed restriction, so it can't be disturbed. So this land will be forever wild or left as he landscapes it. So that's really the gist of it, what the incentive to the developer is and the benefits back to the town.
Okay. You want to get into the differences in this modification to what was originally proposed? You might warrant that discussion.
Yes, yep. We've been at this for about a year, and I think in our original subdivision, our original layout, we had about 37 lots. There was an additional cul-de-sac over in this area, which is now going to be a private driveway. It's going to be owned by the residents, so there's less town infrastructure with this layout, and there's also two less lots. There was some back and forth on the location of the connection to Emmerich Drive. At this time, we're proposing to connect opposite of Irene Drive versus down here, further south. We're still providing a future right-of-way to the north for possible future developments in that direction. I think that's the gist of the changes from what we had maybe 4 months ago. We have the buffer and the landscaping as part of the intent. And we follow the town guidelines for trees planting, 2 trees per lot along public streets. And see trees along there.
Anything else? Dr. Clark, is there anything you'd like to add? Right, at this time, let's do it this way. We'll allow a public comment, and then we'll take a vote, or we'll ask if there are people in the audience that are in favor of it, people in the audience that are opposed. That won't determine the action of this board, but for our record, we want to know in attendance who's where on this. So, if you have questions now you want to ask?
What are you talking about putting those trees in? Our well is right on the corner where he plans on putting those trees in. So how is that going to affect my well?
I'd like to ask the question.
Well, wait. There was a question posed.
Yeah, I don't believe the trees will affect your well. Where exactly are you?
Are you the property in the middle?
Right here? Right on the corner, right there in the corner. Bomb.
The south corner, okay.
Well, the street trees will be up here along the street. There'll be a couple of trees proposed down here, but I don't believe the trees will affect your well.
My concern is water runoff.
Mm-hmm.
We will, as part of this approval process, have a comprehensive stormwater management plan. It'll be reviewed and approved by the town engineer. Has to meet the DEC's requirements for stormwater management. Permit has to be obtained from the DEC.
The only thing I know is, ever since they distributed the water from Irene Drive over on the other side of the road, every spring, water runoff from up above, my backyard floods and my basement floods. This has happened I've asked the town to dig the ditch out between me and the neighbor next door. And their thing was they couldn't do it because of a privet head, so it would probably might destroy the privet head. Well, my question is, if you people own 25 feet in from the center of the road, that's your domain. What is the reason not to put a
deeper
ditch? So it runs down and don't come in.
Okay, all right. That's a question. It's a highway maintenance question.
I went to the highway. That's what I went to.
Well, we have.
I've never seen or met you or talked to you.
No, this was when
Mr. Reeves
was there.
Okay, that's 4 years
and
ago.
And you talked to the guy that's living in my house, and he asked about it too.
Who would that be?
That would be Aaron Grabowski.
Okay, I do recall him.
He asked about digging the ditch from us to down over the hill.
One time that I was there, I did not see any grade elevation that would indicate that you needed a ditch cleaning. We'll be glad to go take another look at it.
I'd appreciate
see if something
it because if
changed.
You put all the mouses up there, I'm just going to be in worse trouble.
Okay, so let's do this.
Glad to look at it for you.
All right, so point taken, but you indicated that you thought that the issue may be emanating from Irene Drive. What we're trying to focus here tonight.
I said not, yes. Ever since they did that, put the water from there. Now you're going to have more houses
right
up there. There's going to be more concrete, more diarrhea.
All right, so There's two issues. And Mr. Dinsmore has agreed to go up and take a look at your existing situation, because none of these homes are there yet. So you have a problem right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to separate that. We're going to have Mr. Dinsmore go up and take a look at the ditch and see if there's anything that he can do to help you resolve your issue right now. And then what I think you want to do is make sure that this development, that this proposed development, doesn't make anything any worse. Right?
Right.
So what are you going to do, Mr. Developer or his engineer, to make sure that that situation that he's dealing with right now isn't going to get any worse?
Well, the requirements are, you know, our design can't discharge off-site any more stormwater than it does at this present time. So what we'll end up doing is, down here at the low point, have a stormwater management area that collects the stormwater from the development. There'll be swales and pipes throughout the site that will take the water to the low point and allow that to discharge off-site following its natural drainage path. If there is a specific area over here that has some issue, we can look at them and specifically concentrate on that area, make sure we don't drain any more surface area or stormwater towards your property than it does right now.
And just to reiterate, this is a step in the process. You also have with you tonight a representative from Planning Board, and Jack left a little earlier. So that's also going to be covered in the planning process for site plan approval. So there'll be an opportunity for you to observe that as well. But in the meantime, you have a situation right now that I think deserves some attention, and our highway superintendent has agreed to go out there and take a look at it. That take care of those issues for you right now? Okay.
I still can't see if you're putting, what, 14 more houses in? That's going to be twice the runoff.
Well,
there's a lot sizes are, and it's not going to be enough lots to absorb the water. It's got to come down through there.
We'll make sure that in the planning process that that's addressed.
Okay, we'll see.
Can we, just for Dina's benefit, can we get your name and address for the minutes?
Robert Baum, PAUM, 8147 Everett Road. That's Baldwinsville, New York.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the number that Aaron is currently living in?
Yes.
Okay. So we got the right place.
Do you live there, sir?
No.
Okay. So you got the right contact. Are there any other questions? You go.
My name is Tom Collins. I live at the corner of Penfold and Rubicon. A couple questions. I'd like to know if the infrastructure is going to be put in at one time, and where is the construction entrance?
It's going to be roughly three phases. The first phase will come off of Rubicon. This is an old layout. We'll come off of Rubicon. The second phase will connect to Emmerich. When we start the second phase, all construction will come off of Emmerich, but for the first phase, we will be coming through Rubicon.
Why wouldn't the infrastructure be done at one time? That's the most cost-effective way. It doesn't, considering what that development has gone through with bankruptcies prior with builders and developers, that does not instill any confidence that the development is going to be completed, in my opinion.
Well, there's a process through the town. The security is just set for each phase. So if the developer does get halfway through, there's bonds and security and letters of credit set so the town can finish the work if the developer can.
How do you expect construction vehicles to go through Rubicon off of Penfold? I'm in the heavy construction equipment business. You cannot maneuver tractors and lowboys down those roads. They're not going to make the turns without crossing properties. Emmerich, you know, is not covered with houses along to there. Why wouldn't the entrance be off of Emmerich versus running everything through the existing development? I mean, if you've driven through there, those roads are tight. You're not going to turn that turn with tractors and mobiles or flatbeds or anything like that. That's just going to, you're going to be crossing all over everybody's property.
All right, we can evaluate that. But if they're town road, built to town standards, they should be able to get the equipment.
It's the size and the turns. They're They won't make it through there without crossing properties.
Any other questions?
I live in the back of River Lot 6 is going to come in on Ashington. It says Mary Walsh and Crystal Wharton. I bought the house last September.
6?
Yep. The new proposed Lot 6 corners up to the corner of my lot.
I don't know if you're looking at the right.
Not the left.
No, you're looking at the original.
No, you're looking at the original.
Two pages.
All right.
Maybe Lot 11?
He's one of these two here. So okay.
11?
Probably 11. I can't see what squares up in my house. When I moved in there, I've never lived in a house that has... Like right now, everybody knows it's been pretty good weather. Like, best I've seen in a long time. My sump pump still runs twice a minute. Mm-hmm. So when they dig those lots and they hit something else, am I gonna get flooded or what are you guys putting in there to move that water? Because there's some serious groundwater in there. And if I'm still running twice a minute in this type of weather.
There is a natural wetlands that goes through back there with a swale.
Yeah, right here there's a drainage easement and a swale.
The town used to actually clean that swale all the way to Route 370. Going back, I've been there 12, 13 years, and the town used to clean that swale out.
Every year?
For exactly that purpose that he's bringing up.
Yeah,
because of runoff, because that the new development is a much higher elevation, and all the water runs down to that natural swale.
And they haven't cleaned it recently?
Haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it.
Behind my house, like, it doesn't flow, that doesn't move, but I can't tell from this new map, is this number 10 mean you're going to put like a big drainage lot behind my house?
There will be a stormwater
pond behind my house.
There'll be a stormwater basin down in this area.
And what lots?
Like a big steel bit in my backyard.
Not any bigger than there now.
No, lots 11 and 10 and 11.
So what are you going to do to move that water up, besides just pool up like in my backyard?
Well, it won't be in your backyard. There's a strange way here that you mentioned. That'll be utilized, and we'll discharge into that.
That deal doesn't flow at all right
if
now.
If it needs to be cleaned out, then we'll work with the town to see that it gets cleaned out. Because I believe it's a natural, there's a drainage even there that allows it to drain.
But if you put a pond there, and the groundwater is already like literally to the point where my sump pump runs twice a minute now, what's the interview with my son called? In the future, now that we're storing...
Well, the pond will drain overland into the swale, and the swale will drain down. There shouldn't be any impact on the groundwater.
We got insurance plan for that?
No, so...
I like the what ifs, but so, what if I'm screwed?
No. So that's what we have public comment. We're aware of your situation, and oftentimes... You know, developments like this can improve situations. And I've seen them go the other way, but you're on record of stating your concern.
What was his name? What's your name?
Pete Smith.
You're Smith.
It's under Tom the house that you guys have under here. It's under Walsh and Wharton.
Okay.
When's the proposed time to build this deal? Like, time enough for me to sell my house?
when are you guys looking to...
If all goes well, we'd like to start the infrastructure in the fall.
I don't know the gentleman's name over there, but I kind of agree with him bringing them. He should have it. I mean, I do construction too. I should have a dirt access road off Emmerich instead of dragging all that stuff through the development and dumping everything on the ground. There ain't nothing that comes through that.
Yeah, there's some we can look at. Like I said, Supervisor said, we have a whole planning board process to go through subdivision approval. We can change phasing, we can change construction plan.
Let's go. Yep. Say your name, please, and your address.
I'm Sylvia Cleveland. Brian and Sylvia Cleveland on the south border of this proposed area. We're sort of in the woods there. we are right along lot 11.
Yep.
And that,
not that,
yeah. Like this gentleman said, that corner there stays quite wet. So I'm wondering if you put a pond in there, how how even keep the pond from overflowing with all the water that's coming down? I mean, will the pond be deep enough that'll hold the water?
Yes, the pond.
And like the same thing, that ditch is just full of cattails, so it doesn't flow very much.
The pond will be sized per the town and state regulations, 100-year storm. It'll collect the runoff from the development, and it'll discharge at a rate equivalent to what it is right now. So as far as flow goes, the flow into that soil will be no less, no more now than it, no more when we're done than it is right now.
So how big or how deep is that pond?
We haven't finished the calculations yet, but they're mandatory that they gotta be, you know, we gotta hold these 4 feet of water, and then there's some freeboard that takes the runoff from the storm.
And is there any provision for keeping the pond not all swampy, like algae and all that?
That's what the 4 feet permanent pool is, to keep the algae stuff from growing. And then it'll be in an easement, so it can be maintained. And the side slopes are mobile. The side slopes will be 3-to-1 or 4-to-1, so that they can be mowed or maintained.
That's a good question.
Who ate, you know, you just said it, so it could be maintained. Who would maintain that pond?
Drainage district.
The drainage district?
Ramrod Builder, and actually I live across the street from the subdivision. When the original Whispering Oaks was developed, that eastern edge on all of those lots that you're talking about, there was supposed to be a swale. There never was a swale put in there. We will put in it. There will be a swale down through there, right, Julian?
We'll definitely have a swale from on our property.
Yes. But there was supposed to be one on the existing properties that are there now. It was never done.
Okay.
So that water just kind of goes wherever it wants. We will give it a place to go. And it'll go into their retention pond. So between their backyards and his property, there will be a swale around his property also. So any water from the blacktop or the roofs or whatever will go into those swales away from the property.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Mr. Mallard, we got, obviously points out, it's a win-win for the town, it's definitely a win-win for the developer, it is not a win for the existing Whispering Oaks residents. You're cutting the size of the property down, it's going to reflect on our values. We are already over-assessed as it is, based on the values. I've been there 12, 13 years.
Yeah, I'm very...
Just making a comment.
Right.
I speak that a little bit.
Sure.
And went through the process. We originally started the process in acre lots, and because of the economics of, this is what we've been told, because of the economics of acre lots, not being able to maintain the infrastructure over a period of years, and Alice probably can give you more numbers than I can, that concept is no longer valid in developments like this. So we had the option of doing one of two things. Put in to go forward with the incentive zoning, where you have half acre lots, which are pretty decent sized lots. I live in Radisson, and that's what my street, my whole area is. Or to do cluster homes, which are the very small lots, and leave a portion of that development undeveloped.
Well, you do the math, it obviously benefits you. It's benefiting the town the way it's being done. It does not benefit us.
All right, so
there's a slight disadvantage with the sewer, the annual cost of the sewer district that's going to drop down, but all of a sudden I just hear now there's a maintenance fee maybe for that reservoir that's going to be put in for a runoff.
Well, there'll be a drainage district fee. So the comments that I'll make are not necessarily revolving around this particular project, but when this board considers incentive zoning or increased density, there was a method to that theory. And, you know, it is shown that with more residences living on infrastructure, there's more of a tax base to support the use of it. So there's a benefit to the community. It takes the burden, it's supposed to, when this all comes about and we start using smart growth principles and we start increasing density on roads, it's supposed to protect the taxpayer. Because it's proven out that R40 housing, the taxes that are generated in R40 just doesn't support the road network, it doesn't support the infrastructure. So what we're charged with is to try to come up with a happy medium. Because also, you know, and Mr. Clark mentioned it, we would have preferred to start from a higher dense area related to those principles. Dr. Clark's concern was for the existing residents in Whispering Oaks, that he felt that smaller lots would detract from that original area.
You're also destroying all the natural habitat that is behind our properties. Obviously, it's not on our property. We don't own it.
Right.
But you're destroying a beautiful natural habitat, which is going to devalue our homes as well. Anybody want to argue that? I'll argue all day long.
Like I said, I moved there in September because I don't know if any of you guys go down south a lot. That development reminded me of something like a Georgia when you pull in. It's spacious. It's just, it doesn't feel like Syracuse, Liverpool, Devo, whatever you want to call it. It felt like you were in Georgia. Big lots, pretty cool feeling to it. That's why I moved there. Close it up. It's kind of. I agree with it. You're changing the deal.
I think for a development going in there, our concept is for smaller lots, basically, but not, I won't say crappy houses, but not inexpensive homes. These are not going to be inexpensive homes. They're going to be nice quality homes. Not cheap homes. Our concept is kind of for, you know, people who are moving out of large homes and want a really nice looking house, not on a really large lot, because you don't want to mow as much lawn anymore, but they want a nice house, they want nice amenities, that sort of thing, so it's a good looking deal. But those are not inexpensive homes. So I guess when I looked at...
weren't you putting in patio homes and things like that in there? That's what you showed. I showed you patio homes?
Yeah.
Actually, right behind that gentleman's property.
I showed you some ranches, not patio homes, ranches.
Okay. Those patio homes.
Okay.
I own the land, we never proposed patio homes. That concept was proposed to us, but I told them straight up that I wasn't comfortable with that. And that was a process where I wouldn't have to go through all the stuff that I've gone through for the last year. That was something where they said, you do this, you just do it. We don't have to go through this whole process and back and forth that we've been through. So, you know, and from my standpoint in going through this process, it's definitely a, you know, you got three balls in the air. I'm trying to kind of keep everybody happy. And I hear your concerns too, and I'm a homeowner too. So I'm going to make sure that everybody's taken care of.
Another concern I have is traffic control. What are you going to do about the traffic?
We had traffic control. We didn't have to. We had a traffic study done as far as how much traffic impacts certain areas, and the impacts were very, very low. And that study is available through the tunnel by city.
I had a question on that. You ever tried to get off Emmett Road onto 370 since all those housing projects went up in? It's, and you sit there and wait, because there's no traffic light. And then you sit there and wait. So now you're going to put more housing up into there. How long are we going to wait to get off the road?
And that was one of the concepts of the study. They actually had, I don't know if you saw it, there were people who were sitting there reviewing the traffic. And one of the questions that we brought forward was, will there be enough traffic there now to put a light in? And the, I'm not sure whose road that is, but whatever.
Emmerich, the town.
No, not Emmerich, it was the 370.
370.
Oh, state.
The state said that it doesn't qualify. The person who did the study said it doesn't qualify. And the other good thing, I mean, you I know this isn't going to sway at all as far as Whispering Oaks is concerned, but that does provide another entrance in the event there's an emergency and one of the entrances is cut off. That's what it
means. Well, you know as well as I do that people from Whispering Oaks are going to, if they're going to go to that little stop and go down there, Burn Dairy, they're going to come down Emmerich Road, and then they're not going to try to put across 370. It's going to put twice the amount of traffic on Embert Road. You can't tell me you don't have one.
Yep, if you could state your name and address for the record?
Tim McGurman. I live at 8120 Embert Road, directly across from, I guess, Lot 1, on the proposed map. Couple questions, couple points I want to make. As far as the benefits, I do see the benefits to the developer and the town, I understand all that. I tried to look at this from both angles. One of the benefits proposed in this is the dead end public sewer that's going to end at Emmerich. My understanding is, I heard, you know, we can hook up to it if we choose. Is that, that's a straight line out to Emmerich that dead ends at a manhole. So is there actually a main line that we actually hook up to? Or how is that? It's not something that's running by our house on Emmerich, correct? It just dead ends.
No, it dead ends at the road.
Right.
It dead ends at Emmerich.
Right, so it's not really a benefit to any of the surrounding residents because there's no main line running north-south on Emmerich.
No.
So if I'm missing something, I don't understand.
Basically, we're extending it additional 200 feet, so it's that much more there when the funds are available for the developer.
Okay, so from my standpoint, it's $15,000, which is a pittance in my mind in this whole project. It's a concession to homeowners that live there now. It doesn't really mean anything because there's no plan. There's no benefit.
On this map, just for my clarification, where do you live on Emmerich Road?
Right across from Lot 1.
Okay.
So my concern is, it's proposed as a benefit. I don't see the benefit because the town would be responsible in making that north-south line that all of us are Emmerich supposedly could optionally hook up to. That's not there. It's going to dead end at a manhole. It'll probably stay that way for however long.
Yeah,
there's no benefit there.
So I was on the committee that negotiated that concession, and really what we wanted to do is we wanted to get it to Emmerich. Now, not everybody on Emmerich would benefit from that. It's not, you know, when we talk about infrastructure and who it's going to benefit, it doesn't necessarily benefit everybody. It's better than what was proposed, and to get it to Emmerich would really, in the future, if there are any residents on Irene Drive who are all on septic systems, if in the future Irene Drive wanted to go to a sewer service, it's literally across the street. Now, that doesn't mean that in the future we couldn't design something that would get you to that line, but you're downhill from that.
I'm not understanding where it dead ends, though, because it's not directly, it's not across the street. It's across the street from only one piece of property.
It's across
the street.
I believe it's across the street from Irene Drive.
Yeah, it'll stop by Irene Drive.
So.
Right, but there's no, as it stands now, there's no avail. Like, I would love to hook up the public sewer. I would love it. And again, I just want to understand that it's proposed as a benefit here to all of us. But there's no future plans for anything to be done with it. It's dead ends at a manhole. When does that pipe run north-south on Emmerich? So I can hook up, because I'm not paying to hook up across from my arena. It's 400 feet.
Yeah, so that you wouldn't go that
it's
route.
It's no benefit to me.
Right, for you personally, probably not at this moment.
Yeah,
unless,
yeah. Al? So the way special districts works, so essentially, there's two ways that a special district can be formed. It can be formed under Article 12 or Article 12A of New York State Town Law. Article 12 is district formation by petition of residents. Article 12A is district formation by order of the town board. If the residents in a proposed district want to have sewer service, so if you and your neighbors on Irene Drive wanted to have sewer service, you would petition the town board. There was a majority of residents that supported it. The town board could form the district under Article 12A. They could call a formal referendum, and you could have a vote. But once the district is formed, only the parcels that are included in the district that benefit from the new district that's formed contribute to paying for that infrastructure. So essentially, that 200 feet of sewer is 200 feet of sewer less that you would have to pay for. In the interest, obviously, you're down gradient from this. You're downhill. In all likelihood, the houses that are down gradient are going to have to install grinder pumps and a 2-inch force main to tie into the gravity sewer or force main, even if Irene Drive, really, because of the underground utilities on Irene Drive, realistically, the most economical way to install sewers would be with grinder pumps and force mains. So the cost, overall cost to the homeowners that would be in that proposed district would be $15,000 to $20,000 less than what it would be if that extension wasn't run.
So what we're doing right now.
So in other words, it ain't gonna benefit anybody on Emmerich Road right now.
Not unless there's a district form.
So why sit there and say it's a benefit?
Well, because if you wanted to tie into it, you'd have to put in an extra 200 feet of line.
Right. But what if they run the line down all the way to 370?
It's down.
High in the sewer there.
That's a force main. Isn't
that's
it?
A force main. That's a. Do you have a difference in?
Well, it's not going. That's going to be a fortune for who?
No, it's a force main. It's a pressure sewer. So you don't pump down. It essentially requires another. It's a long-term cost. It's more expensive to go down the hill than up the hill in this instance. Because you have a bore under 370, and you have an air relief valve that's required, and the distance.
So to stay on track here, if there's interest, and it sounds like there might be some interest in tying into it, that's something that we can look at in the future. But there is a benefit of having the stub at least get to Emmerich. They didn't have to do
and,
that.
And that's why I'm here. You know, I
yep.
want clarification on that.
Yep.
I obviously, living where I do, I had some more, you know.
There was maybe a finish on that. And that is when we had the original development, there was a thought that maybe the folks in Emmerich Heights would want a sewers in the area. But when we talked about crossing the road, they said, well, it just seems like you're going to force them into it. Nobody's going to force them into it. So we said, the problem with not doing anything is once you don't do anything and people's land is there, for somebody to come in and say, there's a sewer out that road, we want to come through your property, under your property, put a sewer under there, dig up whatever you've got, or trees or whatever, that's a little bit bigger deal. That's where you get some pushback from people. So we said, look, while this is being built, we'll put that main out there. If anybody wants to use it, it's right across the road. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but you know, it's hard sometimes, you get a little bit different thought process. I think it's hard for people who have an existing functional septic system to say, you know what, I don't want that, even though we're straight. I want to pay more for the sewer district and utilize that connection.
And I get it.
And Al, we'll be available to, if there's interest in that area, to connect to the sewer. I mean, that's why we went to Emmerich. In case there was a discussion, if there was interest there, let's explore that. I mean,
okay.
That's why we went to Emmerich.
Yeah, I just wanted some clarification.
Yeah, I hear you. Yep.
It just didn't make sense to me at all. On a side note, I've lived there since 08. I love living there. And one of the reasons I moved out there was because of my view out my front window and on my front porch. So the thought of decorative shrubbery, trees, mounds of landscaping that are aesthetically pleasing to people traveling up and down Emmerich, which is a country rural road. It's great if it's in your backyard and you own a $350,000 house. It's not great if you're sitting in my $185,000 house across the street and now you've lost your sunsets, your deer, your turkey, your wildlife, everything your kids have come to love and grew up around. That's what I'm faced with. So I'm basically going to get a tree wall across the street from my house is what it appears to be. To me, had I known that, I probably would have bought the house in 08. There's a reason I moved there. And I'm all about free enterprise and making your money and doing your thing. But at what cost? I mean, I get it. You know, impact, you know, it's going to impact everyone differently. My concern is that. I'm going to lose that. My kids are going to lose that. It's a huge part of why I live where I live. I'm concerned about the dust and dirt up and down Emmerich Road. Emmerich Road's a road that can't even support two cars passing each other at 50 miles an hour.
I'm on it a lot.
Yeah.
We call it going a long way home. And we drive it.
It's a tough road to navigate.
Yeah.
So my concerns, they're not all personal. Foot traffic. We walk to the burn dairy, it's terrifying. Okay? There's 60 miles an hour from Irene down to 370. There's got to be something done either through traffic enforcement, traffic, speed zoning. Something's got to be done. The road can't accommodate, one, all that traffic, especially going back and forth. And your pedestrian traffic is at risk, as it is now. My other concern is, I realize everything's got to get there, but, you know, am I 2 years of dust and debris all over my camping trailer, my cars, everything? How long do I have to live with the repercussions of all the dirt and mud and everything on my road? It's a small country rural road, you all know it. So what happens when everything I own is covered in dirt and dust, and for how long?
Well, I mean, it really depends on the takedown of the lot, but there will be a plan in place, erosion center control plan, that minimizes the dust and debris, keeps the sand down, keeps debris off the road.
He doesn't want the big trucks down his road. We don't want them on our road. We've got kids, we've got grandchildren playing out there. You can't, the town can't control the speeders going up and down now. You ever watch some of these trucks the way they drive?
In closing, I mean, I can testify to Bob in the Lowe's, which is the Emmerich House, the brick house there right at the top of the hill as you go past Burn Dairy. I've never seen it as bad the last couple of years. I don't know, I actually installed a backup sump pump, a water fed sump pump, because of just the water in the spring and during heavy rains is unbelievable. I mean, it is unbelievable there. I have seen on at least two occasions in the last year, Bob's yard and the Lowe's yard, directly south of them on Bob on Emmerich, you're talking a foot of water in their yards because it's got no place to go and the ground can't accept it. I fail to see how this, the topographic makeup of this can support 35 basements and pavement and roads. I don't have any idea where that water can go. There is no place for it to go. It's right now, it is, I've seen Bob's yard, his problems with his septic, and the Lowe's especially, their yard at least twice in the last year has had a foot and a half, 2 feet of water in it, because it runs right down Emmerich, right into their yards.
Yeah, we're gonna try to address that. It mentioned earlier, we're gonna have our highway superintendent take a look and see if there's anything ditch-wise that we can do.
Because that's a current
issue, and I think what's been explained is there's a responsibility by the developer not to make that worse. So.
Well, what happened? I guess my question. This is, I'm new to this. This is my first meeting. I'll openly admit it. This isn't my comfort zone. My concern is, we'll address it. We'll look at it. I get it. I understand the forum. I understand the process. Where are we 5 years from now? When, you have a ton of water in your yard, we're sorry. Where's the answer? It can't accommodate these yards. Our houses can't accommodate any more runoff. There is no room. The water is staggering. I just don't, I get, we're compensating for it. We've got a plan. I don't understand it. I'm afraid you're gonna get into a situation where you're gonna flood people out, especially okay. Not even my side. I'm more worried about the west side of the road.
Well, like I say, this portion is an opportunity for you to voice your concerns. This isn't the last time that those concerns will be addressed. There's a whole planning phase to this, where the engineer and the developer have to come in and show you on paper with a stamp, an engineer's stamp, that. If your situation is not going to get any worse. All right?
Okay. I wonder if we just went through some of the answers to, I don't think some of these points maybe got answered.
Well, how about, sure.
For example, the point about looking across the street, that sort of thing.
Yep.
What we tried to do is to create what they call a viewscape. and it was in concert with some of the members on the board. And what it would be is, as you're kind of driving by, you wouldn't be stuck with the look of all these houses all of a sudden being there. So what we did was, we put in a double staggered row of fruit trees. And the fruit trees are not like to get real, real big. They're kind of smaller ones. So we drew a little thing where if you're in a car and you look up from that viewpoint, you wouldn't see a lot of the houses. But I tried to do it with fruit trees because they don't get real big. They're kind of ornamental. It kind of looks like an orchard a little bit, you know, in the back, to try to give it a decent look without just snapping all these trees in there. There's some trees at different ends, that sort of thing. Let me kind of get to your point about the water, which is tonight the thing that, you know, I'm glad people come because we didn't know about any of this stuff. So my big concern really is we already have a water issue. I'd like to find out what the source of that is.
Because we don't know about it. The more places they put there, there's less place for the water to seep into the ground.
I'm not sure and if the water management system is
this good
right now.
My neighbor, and where Nate lives,
yeah,
he was an engineer for GE. He proved to this board before that if they put so many houses in up there, you would have a flooding problem downstream. He proved it to
him.
And that's
civil.
He was an engineer for General Electric, and he went through it. His name was Terry Conley. I think you guys all must know him because he put a little slap on the hand of what it was before when they wanted to develop there. And now, that's why they went to the bigger lots, because there would be more footage for water to seep into, and now you want to put 14 more in there. And I've got a water problem now, and I'm telling you, if you put 14 more in besides what you're putting in, I'm going to have three times the water problem.
Okay.
And you know what the town board was, their solution to my problem was?
What?
Why don't you have 2 foot of topsoil put on your yard?
Matt.
That was the answer I got, yes, from Mr. Reeves.
Why do you think things have changed in the last
Your concerns are noted, and this is part of a process. It's the very beginning part of the process. The end of the process would be if the board chooses to move forward with this, is it goes to the planning board, and the planning board makes sure that the engineer that's working on this with his civil engineer stamp says you're not going to get any more water on your property.
Are they going to give us that in writing?
Sure.
Well, it's documented in many ways.
Documented.
So unless, are there any comments that that aren't similar to the ones that have already been expressed? Let's go, Jim.
Jim Strisnik, Dinglehole Road. Where will the sump pumps from the individual houses discharge?
They can either go into the street under drainage system, or they can go into the backyard swales that'll take it to the stormwater management system.
So not into the yards, into the street, or into the yards?
It depends on, you know, where you're positioned. We can either go into the street under drainage systems or storm sewer systems, or we can go out the backyard with the swales that Ron mentioned that are going to take the backyard swales and some of the pipe storm sewer systems to the stormwater management.
They previously had all the Whispering Oaks residents disconnect theirs that went into the public utilities.
That was to the sanitary sewer.
Yeah, you can't run into a sanitary sewer.
This is to the, there's an under drain storm sewer pipe down each side of the road that drains the sub base of the roadway. We do allow the sump pumps to be tied into those.
And
yep.
The sump pumps that do not tie into that system, which eventually goes where?
The stormwater pond.
The stormwater pond. Those that did not tie into that pump out onto the yard, which is surface drainage at that point.
They would be.
And follows gravity?
We actually have been requesting that they tie, go all the way to an easement rather than just
like
dump it out.
Like Ron mentioned, there's going to be a backyard swale here with an easement. There'll be a swale here. So all these lots, if they're going to sump pump out the back, it'll be directed towards the backyard swale.
Okay.
Literally dumping those right in my backyard.
Yeah.
They're gonna all dump it in stormwater.
When it rains, even when it rains now, like 2 nights ago when it rained, it's 6 inches deep. When in the fall here, in the spring, with the snow and ice, I was literally using a submersible in my driveway because I thought I bought water from a property, just so my driveway was full of water.
And that was coming from that swell area?
The swell is a move in my yard. There's so much water.
That's typical of the whole development.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I mean, this might be an opportunity for us to address those concerns and get that swell operating.
Listen, these guys got a building, they're going to come on and get it. But if he's going to stamp it, what's that stamp guarantee anybody in this room? You can say the stamp guarantees anything, but is it going to pay the bill at the end of the day if my house is underwater? Or is it just a stamp that said I guarantee it?
No, there can be repercussions. I mean, once that plan is... It's the town's responsibility to make sure that the developer and the engineer live up to the expectations of the site plan that they submit and get approved.
We're paying for the sewer district that was approved by the town prior that had to be changed.
Yeah. That's true.
Glorified septic system they had. We're paying for it. That the town didn't cover.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna hold comment because I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'll tell you right now, under this administration, when a plan comes before this board and before planning board for site plan approval, and it does not live up to the expectations of what was stamped, there will be ramifications. And that is going to be a leap of faith, I guess, for some of the folks in this room, but that's a commitment from me as your supervisor, and I'm sure my board members would support that as well. Okay, so we've tried to be really liberal with this. Usually what we do is we hear all those in favor and all those opposed, and then we wrap it up. Are there any other comments that would go with Bob? Bob, state your name and address.
Bob Brown, 3212 Quickly Circle. Out of curiosity, I mean, since he said the town's getting a big win, I mean, what is the town's big win on this? I mean, you can say $156,000 in taxes, but most of that's going to the school and the county. So the town's getting more of what, maybe $9,000 extra a year for those 13 houses if you count highway and...
I
don't see it as a big win for the town.
Well, so here's the thing.
Per year,
you know,
one time.
Well, no, you can look at that every year, the highway tax.
No, so good question. Big win is all relative. Depends on the size of the development. Depends on what the development can provide as far as incentives. I mean, it's got to make sense from both sides. It's got to make sense for the developer to do it. It's got to make sense for us to accept the increased density. Every proposal in an incentive zone is going to have different levels of benefit.
I understand that.
Could I make a comment at this point, Bob? Because you raise an issue that I think is really...
Well, one last thing I want to ask is, I know you said it supports the road infrastructure.
Well,
but I don't know if I believe that. You just got a bullet.
Let me see if this helps. Because I'm empathizing with a lot of what I'm hearing, and folks that have been following this conversation know that I was very much concerned about this development. But here's the deal. By going to planning directly and forgetting about incentive zoning, 22 homes can be put on this property. What they're asking for is an additional, 13? So what we're arguing about and debating is whether 13 homes is something that's good or bad for the town. But believe me, with the regular planning and zoning ordinances, this developer owns this piece of property, he could build 22 homes. He can build them on 1 acre lots, or he can build them on 1/2 acre lots, which is called cluster development. But he has the prerogative to do that, provided all of the things we're hearing about water and all of that stuff get taken care of, and that's taken care of in planning regardless. But we can't say yay or nay to development based on whether we like it or not. This thing can be taken off the table as incentive zoning by the developer and say, you know what, enough of this. We'll just build our 22 homes. So the point here is there's going to be at minimum of 22 homes on this property. And what we're debating is the extra 13, you know, there is something coming back to the town for that. And one of the things coming back is a marginal increase in tax dollars. And because I've required it of this board and planning to take into account all costs, not just future infrastructure costs, but the cost from the very day that Gene Dinsmore has to put a highway truck there plowing snow, the operating costs of these pieces of property. And I will insist upon that for every single development we look at, that there has to be a net zero cost to the town for any new development.
I don't know if I saw that. I'm agreeing with you. I mean, it doesn't make a difference to me, 22, 30.
What were the latest numbers on the?
I don't have them off the top of my head, but it was included as an attachment to the.
You didn't put it in the paper one here, so that's still valid.
But the bottom line is private property is private property, and as long as you follow the rules of any town, in this case ours, you can build 1 acre lots tomorrow, provided you get through planning and they work out the details as far as sewers and streets and all of that. Or with cluster development, you can build the same amount of houses on half the property, or with incentive zoning, you can build marginally more houses and provide something back to the town. And that's what's happening here.
When was it initially approved, the 22 lot?
It's never been approved.
It's never been approved.
I mean, right now, zoning says you can build R4. In R40, you can build 1 acre lots. Just, okay. You can do it. But so, the town is saying, let me finish. The town, I think very wisely and imaginatively and innovatively said in the new comprehensive land use plan, we will not accept your roadways in an R40 development. We will never be responsible for maintaining them, which I think is really wise. It protects all of us as taxpayers. So the only thing that the only recourse left for a developer is to say, well, I'll take care of those roads forever, which will never happen, or I'll build on a smaller size lot, which is the cluster or R20 development, which they can do tomorrow.
So I guess my question would be, in the spirit of the meeting, the 22 homes originally proposed hasn't been approved yet.
No.
I understand free enterprise and do whatever you want in your property. I get the sense from you that you want to cut it short, almost like we're wasting our time.
No.
But my issue with that is, my understanding of the town board is to protect us against negative interests. So your matter-of-fact way, as much as I appreciate it,
I know, but
if
what
there's going to be 22 houses there, fine. I moved there in 08, it was a farm field.
Right.
It's someone else's property. Build an amusement park. But
no, you can't do that.
There's a negative impact. That's my understanding that what you guys are there for. That's what we're here for. And I didn't get that gist that, the gist I just got from you was, despite anything you say, it's going.
I appreciate your that concern. That's exactly not what I'm saying.
Said he can build 22 homes tomorrow. That's exactly what came out of your mouth.
Well, he can.
He can.
Well,
that's the law. He can do that. And what we're trying to do tonight is to say,
tell him you're not going to take care of the roads, then he can't build, right?
No. So here's, I think, let me, look, I don't want to get off track here. Here, this is,
I didn't mean to do that.
No.
This is my first meeting, and I guess
what this board is trying to communicate was we're trying to sum up incentive zoning in a few paragraphs to address some of the concerns that you have, and we're not going to be able to do that. I think what Bob was just trying to say was the developer had options that he could either cluster develop on half the property and make smaller lots, or he could do 1 acre lots, similar to what we have over at Whispering Oaks now. Both of those situations do not necessarily benefit anybody in this room. Where we can negotiate is in these incentive zoning areas. We can say, well, we've got issues here. What are you gonna do to help a residence in this area, and how are you gonna improve the tax base to support the infrastructure? So that's what we're trying to do. That's in a nutshell. It's still not going to address, my words are not going to address your concerns of losing your streetscape across, but that could change anyways. Instead of looking at pear trees, you could be looking at someone's front porch.
No, and I get it.
But so here's the thing. So this board is not dismissing your concerns, and Bob did not mean that to be dismissively. What he was trying to do is say the developer had options in this area. And so what we were charged with was if he wants to increase density, he needs to negotiate the best deal he can. And because of the size parcel that it is, maybe it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's the best deal that supports the what we could negotiate between the parties. And so this is being presented to you tonight. I'm trying to be, as your supervisor, as liberal as possible in this public comment. We're not really, usually it's those in favor make a comment, those opposed make a comment, and the public hearing, move on. I'm trying to present a more open option here. And so I hope that you understand that after this point, regardless of which way the board goes, it's not the end of addressing those concerns. So, you know, with that, you know, I'm gonna ask, is that it for the comments? Okay, Tom.
I think if everybody in the development knew that Benfold and Rubicon were gonna be construction alley, they'd be here. People have got this, we're 500 feet from the property line, right?
So, well, we included many more, actually. We went beyond 500 foot. How many did we send out, Dina?
Over 45, I believe.
So 45 letters went out. So as it's proposed right now, Emmerich's gonna share some of the load, and so's Whispering Oaks.
And we're saying that the initial developments are all through Rubicon?
Yep.
That's like a little alley. You can't put construction traffic down that road. I mean, has anybody looked at it? I'm sure Mr. Dinsmore knows it, but
I certainly hope the construction traffic does not go through there, personally.
Yeah.
But that'll
can
be...
Can you bring a low boy through here?
I
not across the properties?
I just don't want... I personally... The town can't say no. So, but I personally don't think that it will be in our best interest to have that construction traffic on those two particular roads. They're not in a condition to handle it at the present time.
The original design
we can change
also
that.
In
we
three
can
phases.
Fix it, but.
The original design was also in three phases. And the phases start at Rubicon because that's where the utilities are, that's where the sewer is. And in that first design, the last phase was entrance to Emmerich. So what we did was, for more than one reason, what we did was to make it so that the second phase goes to Emmerich. So as quickly as possible, we can get that traffic off of Rubicon, out of Whispering Oaks, and onto that road. And what we did was to limit the number of lots on that first phase. I think there's five on the private drive, and then there's maybe four others. So I think there was, since someplace about 11 in
the... How many year time frame is three phases?
I'm sorry?
How many year time frame is three phases?
I'd be dishonest with
five, 10.
I'd be dishonest if I told you. It depends on
the market.
How nice our houses look, what the market is.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap up public comment now. Just make a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
You want to keep it open or you want to close it? You want to keep it open and adjourn it to another day?
Or you want to keep this open?
You want to get written comments?
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to keep it open?
Let's keep it open.
All right. So what we'll do is we'll keep the public hearing open for another 2 weeks. We're going to keep the public hearing open for another 2 weeks for additional public comment. I would just ask that we've heard concerns about drainage. You know, we'll continue that as long as there's new concerns being brought up that can be addressed. But eventually we're gonna have to close the public hearing and make a decision one way or another to move forward.
And
so, but so.
Who's gonna benefit? You guys, the town, or is it gonna benefit the people?
So, when you say you guys, it's you.
No, it ain't, because if we had our way, we wouldn't let the housing project go in it.
No, I know, but it's not, no one on this board personally benefits from we're trying to represent the greater good of Lysander. So that's the best we can do. So with that, we'll table this, we'll leave it open. Hugh?
I'm Hugh Kendall, a member of the planning board. The comments you've made are good comments. All this is going to happen again before a seven-member board, a planning board. This is what we do. We have not even seen this yet. We will have those engineers before us. We will have the traffic guy before us for his report. And you will have a chance to ask all these questions with people that have dealt with this for years.
Okay.
I thought this meeting was about the rezoning. You want to take it from agricultural?
No, this is
residential.
This is an incentive zoned area. This is a negotiated increase in density that's allowable in the incentive zone.
It's already zoned residential. They are 40. Houses can already be built there. It's not a rezoning. This is just a request to do additional.
Fred, you want to save your comments to the public comment?
Zoning.
If it's about Whispering Oaks, you want me to say it then?
Well, you can say it now or then.
I mean, I don't have a dog in the race because I don't have a home in there, but I am a landscaper and I take care of as many as 15 properties in that development in the past. And I can tell you, as much as one third of the year, half of the backyards I can't get into because of how soaked they are. But one thing to keep in mind, I mean, from the board and from the resident standpoint, is Barton and LaJudas gave a engineer's stamp on that sewage system in Whispering Oaks at one point in time. How did that work out?
Fred, I'm right there with you. Because here's the thing, I'll just add it. At the time, I was the mayor of the village of Baldwinsville. Yeah. All right, we didn't have to have sewer added to our pump station in the village of Baldwinsville.
Right.
You think I was happy with that?
No, I'm just saying that the...
So I've learned a lesson from that, and that's why I made the comments I made as your supervisor, that a stamp from an engineer means something. So I hear you. So with that, I'm going to move forward. It's tabled. We're going to take additional comments 2 weeks from now. We have to move forward with our agenda tonight. Okay? All right.
Joe,
that would go right in the citizens' comments.
Maybe you should let people know they can email you or...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Email me your concerns. I've received some emails.
If you're going to do emails, it would not hurt to copy each member of the board.
No, I'll make this commitment. Easier on you. Supervisor at townoflysander.org. I will forward whatever you send to me to the board. I've been doing that to the board members. That way you have one email to remember. Thanks for coming in.
When is 2 weeks?
July 11th.
July 11th.
Okay. We'll move into the citizens' comments. You can just come up and state your name. Oh, you're leaving? Okay.
I'm going to check the thermostat.
Yeah, it's getting hot in here.
Yeah.
We didn't do that on purpose.
Sweat box.
Come on up, Ruth. Ruth, if you could just state your name and your position.
First, I want to say thank you for doing that. I thought you were trying to drive me right out. Anyways, I'm Ruth Troy. I'm the director of Canton Woods Senior Center. Some of you I know. Bob, I'm the supervisor. Hi. Nice to meet the rest of you. I'm here hopefully to bring some positive information tonight about what's going on at the Senior Center. So first of all, I heard you see unfortunately PAC TV is not here, but I'll let you know so you guys can pass this on. We recently had a unused medication return box placed at the Senior Center. So if you run into folks that have prescription meds, they're not sure where to take them, we are now a drop-off spot for that. They can come anytime when the center's open, which is 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. The other thing I'm very excited and proud about is in April, we were awarded a community health award from Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield. We were one of seven out of a pool of 180 applicants to receive one of these awards. And what we're going to work on is hydration. I wrote about hydration importance, and we all know water right now is a topical. So we are installing or have installed a new fountain with bottle fill capacity, and we're going to do hydration education and improving hydration to hopefully improve the general wellness of our folks. So that was something that happened in April. Also, if you know that the new Stewart's shop opened at Smoky Hollow, we received $1,000 from them, and we're going to use that to make some minor renovations to the building to create a small space where folks can meet with service providers to talk about things that might need privacy or confidentiality, because we don't currently have a space that we can offer for that. So that's what we're going to do with that. What else is going on? Oh, Mr. Girassi is aware of this, but the village did receive a notification that they will get $50,000 in a community development grant from the county to do ventilation improvements to the roof. If you know the building at all, you know we historically have problems in the winter. So this grant is supposed to help rectify that problem. So I wanted to let you know about that. Also, Assemblyman Magnarelli is having a program at Ray Middle School. A community resource roadshow will be there for that. That's on July 13th from 12 to 6 p.m. And the Cannonball 5K run Saturday, July 17th at Van Buren Park is going to benefit us. So if you run or you'd like to come by, I'll be there on Saturday, July 17th for that. Also, the Rotary is doing their picnic for our folks July 27th from 4 to 7. If you see any seniors, like I said, PEC TV's not here, have them call the center and make a reservation. So, I've been accused of talking too fast in the past, and I'm sure you're glad that I did that tonight. All right, thanks. Have a good night.
Thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
Did you say the Rotary?
Is there anybody else in the audience wishing to make a comment?
July 27th.
I said I have to call you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I just want to make sure I get all the dates right.
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I'm happy to be participating in government on this side.
Okay. You can just state your name and address.
Melinda Scheimer.
Yep.
8 Elizabeth Street, Baldwinsville.
Yep.
To that end, participating in government, I have a couple questions for you, and they regard the minutes and the agenda. Regarding the minutes, I know that when I was on the board, minutes were a huge discussion point. We talked about a lot. We had some discussion about what they were going to look like, et cetera. But everybody agreed that it was the official, this is what we do, this is what's going on. And we eventually got a system down where we got them up pretty quickly. Lisa got them up pretty quickly with a draft on that. And then we approved them at the next meeting. My point is that it's hard for people to participate to see what's going on with the board if they can't see what was done at the meeting. And I know the minutes from the previous meeting aren't up yet, so it's hard to catch up with that.
Okay.
And that would be helpful. And
noted.
Thank you. And also with the agenda, the same thing coming up, not until Friday. I know we talked a lot. When we were on the board, we'd like to get them up by Wednesday if we can,
yep,
as early as possible, because then you're like, oh my God, it's Monday. And I know that the media has abandoned us in the town of Lysander, Van Buren, and the village of Baldwinsville. And apparently PAC-B has tonight too. So I just want to make sure that everybody's able to get all the information and come and participate to the best of their ability.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep. Is there anybody else in the audience wishing to make a comment? Okay. We'll move on to town board comments. Roman.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight. Other than that, let's stick to the agenda.
Pete? I would also like to thank everyone. Unfortunately, most of them left. I'm glad you
showed. Excellent. Bob?
Let's stick to the agenda.
No comment.
Okay. I will have no comments. Can I get a motion to adopt the minutes of the previous meeting?
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Any additions, deletions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Department head reports. Gene?
Gene Dinsmore, your highway superintendent. I'd just like to comment, we have been doing an extensive amount of preparatory work, and now a lot of us come into the completion phase. You need to know that we paved Doyle Road from 370 all the way to the dead end at the river, cleaned the ditches, and reshaped the shoulders. But also the three cul-de-sacs off the end of that, Popport Field, Halish, and Greenbow, are putting a cape seal on. One half of the cape seal is already on. The other half will be going on next, starting tomorrow and next week. So that will complete that subdivision known as the Landings. Okay,
which also has a water problem in their backyards and a swale that needs to be cleaned, but we have no money to do that. Okay, over in the Holly Hill, Abbott's Landing, and Clinton Heights subdivisions, we completed the concrete repairs, and we will be paving next week, starting maybe as early as this Friday, Ballygar, Brannock, Burn, Cortina, Hilton Wood, and Wide Mark. Following week, we'll be getting over into Malia Park, where we'll be doing Fadi, Nabil, Nuha, and Rania, which those are the five roads I just mentioned, and Holly Hill and so forth, and Malia Park have had nothing done to them in like 20 years. So I congratulate the board for shepherding and updating these roads. And we're also going to hit Brundage Road in the industrial park the following week. And that's the first time that's had anything in about 15 years. So all of this has cost them a great deal of money, which we're spending wisely, I think, and under an excruciating amount of scrutiny from the board. I don't know what kind of a guy they think I am, but at any rate, the taxpayers are getting a fair shake, and we are seriously upgrading our infrastructure, and I'm very proud of that and thankful that we have a board that tolerates me, and we're getting it done. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Tony?
I just want to mention Tuesday concert series, 6:30 on Paper Mill Island. Country Act, Thunder Canyon will be playing. We also have a movie night coming up at Lysandertown Park on July 3rd. And a rain day of July 10th, we'll be showing Legos at 8 o'clock. Roughly the movie will start at dusk, but everybody can start showing up around 8 o'clock. And we're still taking registrations for Lysander Day Camp all 6 weeks as of right now.
Thank you, Tony. Dave?
Yeah, a couple things. I think I reported at the last meeting that I was going to be meeting with our health insurance consultant. We did have that meeting, and it was to basically go over our renewal, which happens on July 1st. There was a 12% increase in the premium. He did tell me that he was looking at another option that he's going to be bringing forth to the town supervisors at one of your upcoming meetings for us to possibly look at. I have continued to work on the review of the internal audits for the departments. I'm working on the Justice Court right now. I'm about ready to finish that one up. And then I'll look at the tax receiver, and then there'll be a report coming shortly. Tomorrow I'm meeting with our copier rep. We currently lease the two copiers in the building, and they were on a 66-month lease, and that lease will be ending in September. So I will be meeting with him tomorrow to go over our needs, if anything has changed as far as the amount of copies we're making and whether these machines are adequate. And I also set up an appointment with another vendor to do the same thing with, to go over our needs, and we'll have some comparisons to look at. I will say the last time we went through this process, the current vendor that we're with just blew everybody away. He was so much cheaper than everybody else that it wasn't even funny. But anyhow, so we're working on that. We recently went out for a ban, a bond anticipation note for the West Genesee Sewer District Extension 2 for $377,000. And we also renewed the ban for the Water District project when we replaced the meters, and we awarded the bid for those bands to Solvay Bank. They gave us a rate of 1.45%, which is pretty good.
What was it before?
2.3 something, which actually our main bank is M&T Bank. Not that I want to be throwing rocks and stones, but their rate was 2.36, 2.34, excuse me. And MBT Bank gave us a rate of 2.13, who we do a lot of business with. And Solvay Bank, who we've never done any business with, came in at 1.45. So that's a good thing for those people in the West Genesee Sewer Extension 2 district. So that causes us to do a review, which I'm going to do, of all of our existing debt and see if maybe the climate's right now that we should look at refinancing maybe some of our long-term serial bonds. So we'll be doing that in the next week or so.
Thanks, Dave.
All right.
We got a question for Dave.
Can you put the premiums? It's going up 12%. You can't tell the premium amount? Or?
I don't have those numbers in front of me.
We'll get them to you, though.
Yeah.
Tina?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. We'll move on to the regular meeting. Item A, can I get a motion to authorize myself to sign the state and municipal facilities program preliminary application for the proposed highway storage facility?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
I think it's a great idea.
All right. There's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. We've tabled item B, and I'll give you a reason why during the announcements. So the new B is, can I get a motion to approve the attached budget transfers dated June 22nd, 2016, as provided by Comptroller David Raleigh?
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion? Questions?
I'm sorry, I forgot to ask during the public comment. The workers' comp, is that normal for that to go up that much from year to year?
No.
Okay. Did you get claims or?
No, actually, we haven't had any claims. It's based more on payroll.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, claims experience does.
Payroll went up that much.
Claims experience does factor into it, but we've been lucky we haven't had any. Actually, we just got awarded a certificate at the last meeting that I went to in May because we went a whole year with no claims. So. That's the good thing, but that's not the reason why the premiums.
It's just change in payroll.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried.
Here's a resolution. I don't know whether that was C or D.
Yeah. Yep. That'll be next. All right, I'll just swing it. Can I get a motion to approve supervisor to sign a contract with MSC, which is the Center for Municipal Solutions, as it relates to legal services relating to towers and telecommunications facilities, contingent on review of our attorney?
I'll move that.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Can I get a resolution to call a public hearing on July 11, 2016 at 7 p.m. to consider the adoption of a local law which would provide for an interim application process for wireless telecommunications facilities?
I'll move it.
I'll second that.
Any discussions? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. I can make some announcements tonight. Next town board meeting is going to be Monday, July 11th, 2016, with a work session starting at 5:30. Yep. And the regular town board meeting at 7 p.m. in this room. Planning Board meeting Thursday, July 14, 2016 at 7 p.m. in this room. Town Board meeting Monday, July 25, 2016 with a work session at 5:30. Regular Town Board meeting at 7 p.m. in this room. Next Planning Board meeting after that is Thursday, August 11, 2016 at 7 p.m. in this room. Parks and Recreation Department activities. We've got summer concert. Well, actually, Tony, you did that. We're going to add a work session to be held in our conference room, which is in the front of the building. You can still access the conference room from this door. You just make a right. It's going to be held on July 6th at 5:30. So.
And no action's going to be taken at the work session. Is that right, Joe?
There shouldn't be any action. It's just an opportunity for us to discuss openly topics of concern. Public is invited. We will also take comments.
Serve refreshments.
What?
Serve refreshments.
Whatever you want to bring. Lemonade. We prefer lemonade. All right. There's no executive session tonight. Can I get a motion to... Okay. Yes?
I was in the restroom. You went through citizens' comments real quick, and I missed. And so I'm wondering if I could have a...
Oh, Fred.
I mean, I'll pass it.
I don't want to keep you from... Can you...
I can probably do it in about no more than 3 minutes.
Okay, Fred. Come on. Okay.
Fred Burch, 865 Plainville Road. The one thing real quick, when you were talking about the considering hiring a water operator,
yes,
would there be any contingency plans if for some reason he became incapacitated where somebody else be able to come in and fill those shoes without doing any additional paperwork or insurance or anything like that? Is it?
Yeah, we would. Well, I mean, literally the requirements, he'd have to be pretty incapacitated not to sign the form.
Okay.
But certainly, if something happened, we'd be able to look out.
Say vacation or an extended illness or something of that. I'm not wishing that upon anybody, but you know.
Yeah.
How would the town be set up to take care of their water operations in the event that this one particular person who you gave or set it up for?
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
That's the only concern with that. And then I have a prepared statement that I'd like to read real quick, and I promise no profanity like last time.
It wasn't profane. Okay. I would have stopped you if it was.
And I have a package to go along with it. It's I'm addressing to it. To whom it may concern, the Lysander Supervisor and the Lysander Board, I am bringing this issue to your attention because of the damage it has caused me personally, and as well my family and friends, and the potential it has to harm the reputation of the town government and its residents if it is not dealt with appropriately in a timely fashion. It tends to send a dangerous precedent. As you are all well aware, social media can be both a powerful tool and a threatening weapon. Free speech is the right that we take as inherent. Currently, both nationally and locally, political speech and commentary from citizens is dominating the cyberspace. This is specifically afforded protection under the First Amendment. Trying to squelch it would be unethical and open to all sorts of legal challenges. Unfortunately, hate speech or words and comments spewed thoughtlessly or with the intention of causing shame and embarrassment or harm in some other way is also part of the daily interaction on social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and others. While eliminating the hate speech in the private sector is nearly impossible, employers such as the Town of Lysander can regulate its employees' actions and help minimize potentially damaging vitriol. The Town Employee Handbook addresses this issue specifically on pages 12, 13, 24, and 25. The documents that I'm going to present to you will definitely show that two Town of Lysander employees have violated these rules spelled out in this handbook. Each employee signs a document that acknowledges he or she is aware of and will abide by the rules. I am providing you with a copy of Code Officer Tim Woolsey's Employee Handbook signature, as well as the evidence of his blatant disregard for your authority and my well-being. There was also another incident that took place last September when my next-door neighbor reached out to the Lysander Codes Enforcement about rules and regulations concerning digging ponds on private property. When Tim Woolsey became aware that the individual seeking the information was my neighbor, my immediate neighbor, he proceeded to disclose over the town phone private information and outright lies about me in an attempt to cause a hostile environment between my neighbor and myself. Later on that day, William Napolitano, my neighbor, approached me in a drunken stupor and started screaming out all the lies and false information that the codes officer had just spent the last 45 minutes divulging to him. After he had spent about a half hour screaming at me, Napolitano got in his truck and drove up and down Plainville Road screaming the same lies so that the rest of my neighbors would hear him and know exactly what the codes officer had to say. I am asking that you provide me the time and place to discuss my concerns, what's in this packet, as a Lysander citizen, and to take immediate and appropriate action. And in here you will find a thumb drive with a video on it, and you will find documents that are stapled in chronological order of things that were said about me on social media. And what I think is important about them is the language on all these documents are the same type of language, and in some cases the exact same phrases that are in the specific document from May 14th that accusations have been made that it was hacked, okay? And it'd be easy for me to show you and compare and contrast these things if I were to have a few minutes to meet with you privately as a board as opposed to in an open forum like this. So I'd like permission to approach the board.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. And so that letter you can put in with that packet. Okay. And I'm sorry, there's only one copy, but
you
one copy of everything, but it's all in chronological order. Okay. And it's all highlighted, the things that I think that are pertinent. And if I were able to sit down and show you a document that isn't being, or a post that's not being claimed as hacked, has the same language in it as a document a year later or 6 months later that supposedly was hacked.
That's, okay, all right.
Okay?
We'll check that out.
Okay, I appreciate your time.
All right, Fred. All right, can I get a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting at, my eyes, 8:36?
I'll move that.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried.